There's a woman that I know that went to the University of Colorado after she graduated from high school, and she was in for a treat because she was going into the liberal arts program at the University of Colorado. Now, she was a Christian, she's going into this program, and she's expecting to learn English and learn all these other topics, but the professors in these particular departments, no matter what the topic, no matter what the subject, they were firing away at Christians. They were all anti-Christian, and it wasn't based on reason or science, like they were making some arguments. It was just like, Christians are stupid, okay? You guys are all stupid, you believe in Santa Claus, you believe in Jesus, it's the same, you believe in the tooth fairy, you guys are just dumb. And it was just like that, those were the classes. So, like, imagine that this was something that you were hearing in every semester, and it was like, okay, this is really good English. So, basically, this is what this woman experienced. But her faith was so rock solid. She had such a strong foundation from her mother, from her church, from studying scripture, that it was confusing, but she wasn't shaken off her path. She didn't wander from the truth. Jesus Christ says this, anybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a house that's built on a strong foundation. The storms come. The storms will come. But the house is built on a foundation and the house stands. Okay, now, in the passage that we just looked at in James, James is talking about another possibility, though, and we need to go over that. We're just going to go over two verses today. And like I said, we're going through themes in this book because James is like the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's not helpful to just go straight through, I believe, if you're preaching through Proverbs or preaching through James. So James is going to cover this subject. Let's read it. James 5, verse 19. You'll hear what he's about to say. He says this, my brothers, so he's talking about Christians, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, I'm just going to stop right there. If any among you wanders from the truth, okay, so is there a possibility of somebody wandering from the truth? Okay, it's very explicit here. We don't need a lot of interpretation on that part, but here is what I'm going to tell you. We let the scriptures interpret the scriptures. What does he mean when he says wandering from the truth? What is that? James chapter 1, verse 18 says this. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. The word of truth causes you to be born again. He gives you spiritual rebirth. As you hear the word of God is brought to your life and you are born of the word of truth. Also, as we go to 3 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, John also says this, when he heard that people that knew Jesus were continuing to follow Jesus, it says this, for I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So what is he saying? The word of truth causes you to be born from above. You can walk in the truth, but then, okay, go back to James 1:19. My brothers, what if any among you wanders from the truth? I want to tell you this, there is great danger if you're feeling that happening in your life. If you're feeling yourself drifting away for whatever reason. Okay, now I'm assuming that most of you are not there, okay? I'm assuming that when I ask that question. But what I am also saying is, we sing in Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, that we are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Okay, so last Sunday we talked about those who are professing, but they're not living it. Those who are practicing, maybe even church going, but it's not sinking into their hearts and their lifestyle. Okay, they're still not living it. Okay, so I just want to tell you that there's danger. Hebrews chapter 12 says that there can be discipline from the Lord if you are wandering. That's what it says. Okay, just as you, as parents who have children in your home, discipline your children because you want them to stay on the right path, so also your heavenly Father does the same thing because he is a God of love and he wants you to stay on the right path. But I will tell you, I wouldn't want to go there though. I would not want to go there. And so I'm just going to ask this question: how can you, how will you stand firm? How will you stand firm in your life, okay, for the next however many years that God gives you to be on this earth? How will you stand firm? I'm going to tell you how. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says this: but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you grow in knowledge, nobody's going to take you off your path. When you grow in spiritual maturity, no one's going to take you off your game. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. When you grow here, you will grow to spiritual maturity. Because knowledge and wisdom are two sides of the same coin, and your worldview and your choices and the way that you see things will be on solid foundation. Storms will come, but you will stay on the foundation because you have knowledge. You're grounded. You're founded on a strong, solid place. So here's what I want to tell you. I was talking to one person one day, and they were going to another church. And she was like, every time I go there, I cry. Every time I go, I cry. But now I know this gal, but there's no lifestyle of following Jesus throughout the week. But every time I go, I cry, and I feel it. Hey, I want you guys to know, we could put some nice YouTube videos on, and Ryan can play you a song back there with some nice phaser effects and stuff, and we can try and make you cry. But see, that's not the goal. The goal isn't necessarily to make you cry. Some people go to churches because they like to get an emotional high off of the preaching and the music. Okay, there's something that they're looking for to give them that emotional high. But I want to tell you, what good is it if you're dancing in the sanctuary on Sunday, but you're dancing with the devil on Monday? See, that's not what we're after, you guys. And so I want to tell you this. Your mind must be fruitful first, and then the emotions will follow in a fruitful and spiritually mature way. The way that you are going to grow is by studying the Word of God and applying it to your lives. That is how you're going to grow unto spiritual maturity. Now, hear me out. Now, I'm not anti-emotion. Like, you guys see me with my arms raised, but here's what I'm saying. It starts with the mind, and then your whole being, your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength combines to know what you're doing. So I just want to encourage you with those words, because see, the first question when you get to the parking lot shouldn't be, how did you feel today? But it should be rather, how did you grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ today? See, because sometimes you might be sick. Sometimes you're not feeling good. But see, your faith is what's going to last. See, if you're on your deathbed and your body's deteriorating, you may not feel very good. But your faith is what's going to last and stand the test of time. Was that part clear? Okay, see, we're not anti-emotion, but we are wanting our mind, will, and emotion to all be fruitful into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When I was in college, I had a friend. We were in a men's group, and we were both following Jesus, and we were doing well. It was a good time. We were getting into the Word of God together. But my friend was, like, really into his six-pack. So he had a six-pack. Now, I know this. You'll see where I'm going, because you're like, well, I don't care about a six-pack. Okay, but now he was really into his six-pack. And so he was 6 foot. He was a handsome man. He spent a lot of time exercising, and he was really into himself. And so this is what happened. One night, we were all at a social gathering. We were all together at a house. And then he just left. Okay? He just needed to leave. So we were like, okay. We didn't know why. But then later on, he talked to me and he said, how come none of you guys pursued me? How come none of you guys, like, ran after me? Now, I'm just thinking to myself, like, okay, now you left. That was your choice, man. Here's what I want to tell you. Self-absorption manifests itself in different ways. He got to a point where he said, I need to take a break from Jesus. I just need to take a break. I need to go do my own thing now. For, you know, I don't know if he ever came back from his wandering. Okay, but see, there was too much self-absorption. Maybe your issue isn't your six-pack. But maybe it's something else that you're prone to focus on. After observing people follow Jesus for 20 years or so, here's what I would submit to you. It's self-absorption that's the number one reason why people wander. They're looking for something other than Jesus. Okay, they're looking, something's wrong that they didn't get. Somebody did something that didn't fulfill them or meet their needs. And now they have some mental justification of why they need to wander and what happened, but there's never any personal accountability. Okay, this is what I want to tell you, that it's possible to wander, and I want to safeguard your life from this happening so that you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible is about who? It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Hey, and you're happy. You should be happy it's not about you. Okay? Sometimes we're reading the Bible and we're like, hey, if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have done what? You know, you guys know the story of David, or you guys know all these biblical stories. You're like, well, they messed up. I wouldn't have done that. Listen, if our narratives were in the Bible, it would be the same. Okay, we would have done that. Here's what I want you to know. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He gives you life. No one goes to the Father except through him. He is the truth. Truth is a person. The Bible is about Jesus. The more you get to know Jesus, the more you behold Jesus, the more you will become like Jesus. I want you to know this, that on the cross, because of God's great love for you, Jesus absorbed all of your darkness, the darkness of the whole world. He took it upon himself. It was transferred to him. And then in an exchange, he gives you his light. He is the light of the world. He says, anybody who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He gives you his light. His light lives in you. His light lights your path. His light gives you eyes to see. He will take you. He will make your paths straight. That's what he does. He just says, follow me. Okay. Let's keep reading. James 5, verses 19 and 20. Now, this is how you're going to stand firm. You follow Jesus. You follow his light. You stand on the firm word of God in your life. But then James is going to keep going. He says, on your screen, it says, okay, if someone wanders and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. There's another implicit factor here. You will have a firm foundation by growing in the knowledge of God's word, but you will also have another firm foundation in your life when you have community. Okay? Who's going to go and get the sinner that's wandering? Who's going to rescue him and bring him back home? Who's going to bring him back to this place? Who's going to bring him back to the family? It's going to be other believers. This is a community, okay? So I want to tell you this. There was a couple that I knew, and they were in community. They were in community. They were growing in the knowledge of God's word. They were being blessed by the relationships. They were in a good relationships, growing. Everything was going well. But then at some point, they just said, children have too much sports, we can't come. Okay, now, listen, I want you to know, you're all in different places. This is just what happened to them. Okay, so they just stopped coming. But then the next step was this. They have other friends that are not believers now. They're starting to rub shoulders with them. Now, do I have friends that are not believers? Yes. Do I want you to have friends that are not believers? Yes. But it's about influence. See? If you're with them and you can still be yourself and influence, great. But if they're influencing you more than you're influencing them, and they're helping you to wander, then you guys have to have wisdom and discernment and not think you're Jesus when you're not yet like Jesus. Okay? So basically, they started to be influenced. And then lo and behold, all their Facebook posts started changing. Everything started to change. Their priorities stopped to change. And then before you knew it, they were wandered. But the turning point was this, when they stopped having relationships with other believers. I don't want you to think just about growth groups right now. I know I've hammered that to death. But what I'm talking about is relationships in Jesus. Life together with other believers. Okay, you are less likely to wander when you are connected to community, when you're connected to relationships with other believers in Jesus. Okay, now, what happens though if somebody you know wanders? What do you do? I know what a lot of us do. We're just like, what are we going to do? Are we going to call them? Awkward. I'm just going to say, hey, what are you doing? It's easier to do nothing. Most of us do nothing. We start watching TV, we do what we normally do, and then we're just like, hopefully they come back. What do you do when you see somebody wandering from the truth of God's word that saves them and saves their life? I want you to know this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 tells us, it says this, brothers, it's referring to Christians, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, that means those of you who have the Holy Spirit, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Okay, what are we after? Restoration. We're after winning them back. We want to bring them back. We want to do an intervention. I know that that word has all kinds of connotations now, but we want to bring them back to the right spot. And I know that this is hard. It's like, hey, how are we going to make this meeting happen? It's awkward sometimes. Text message. Hey, we need to meet. About what? We just need to meet. I need to talk to you. You guys have to do it with your personality and whatever you're going to say. But see, I know it's hard. I talked to my younger sister. She brought a couple of friends with her to Easter service. Now, these are a couple of people that were really plugged in. They were really involved for a long time. They knew the truth. They knew the right way. They knew the right path. But then they just stopped coming. But they came on Easter with my little sister. But then after the service, this was the conversation during Easter brunch. You know, I didn't really like what the pastor was talking about today. You know, he just didn't really say it the right way. And your service, your worship service is all wrong, and you guys aren't doing it the right way. And so what has happened in this person's life is that they've developed a mental justification of why the church is wrong, the pastor is wrong, the people are wrong, the music's wrong. Okay, and then they've developed a foundation in their life of why they don't need to be walking in the truth. And this is what I was really encouraged by now. My sister and my brother-in-law, they said, but we are setting up a time to meet with them. We are going to sit down and meet with them to talk about this. Because he used to be leading his family spiritually. Now he is leading them towards death instead of towards life. We are going to talk to them. And I said, thanks be to God for their courage. Thanks be to God that they're willing to set that meeting up. And I want you to know that when you set these meetings up, here is what the Word of God says about you. That you are an ambassador of peace. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You are a fisher of men. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. You are a firefighter. Jude chapter 1, verse 23, it says in the imperative, save others by snatching them out of the fire. If your friend or your family member is wandering, they're playing with fire. But you guys are going with Jesus with you. Jesus is joining you. You're joining him, rather, in his mission to restore the people that are playing with fire in their life. And I want to encourage you to pray without ceasing. Pray, 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 and pursue until you set that meeting up. And then what is the goal of the meeting? What are you hoping to hear? Okay? What are you hoping to hear? James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Here is the goal that heals, guys. This is the goal. I know that we've been trained in a different way in the United States of America. Blame is out there. It's out there. The problem is with the system. The problem is with those people. The problem is with whoever. The healing happens. God brings healing in your heart. God brings healing in your mind. God brings healing when people are accountable and confess their sin to God. And then hear that they're forgiven by the cross of Jesus Christ. But until that point, they're just blaming instead of saying, okay, I'm going to humble myself before God because he has mercy on the humble and he exalts those who humble themselves. Okay. Now, what if they don't listen? That could happen. They like might not want to do what you're saying. They might not want to confess, right? I want you to know this. Their narrative is not over. It may not be looking very good at that point. But their narrative is not over. Don't give up on anyone. I want to ask you this. Did God give up on you? Many of you have a story kind of like mine where you wandered. You were off track. But Jesus went to find you. Jesus put you back on his shoulders. And he carried you back into this sanctuary. So rejoice. And be a part of the fold of God. Many of you have a story like this. One man came to me this week and he said, I want to tell you my stories. And I've been his pastor for 7 years. But he just told me, he said, the previous pastor before you that came, I was wandering. He planted seeds. You watered those seeds. But then he said, God made it grow. And then he said, I love you. And I told him I loved him. And we rejoice together. And the focus here is that God brought him back. Many of you have been brought back. You're here. You wandered. And now we can rejoice when we hear these stories and you share them with each other. And we can rejoice together that we've all been back to the fold of God. And that's what heaven's going to be. Where we're sitting before the throne, worshiping the Lamb, praising God for what he has done in our lives. And I want to also share with you this story. You guys know Jeremy Kester. We have been praying for him for over a year. And he needed a heart transplant. He needed a heart or else he was going to maybe die. Okay, all these sleepless nights, having to change his diet. And we prayed for a long time, but I believe it was Friday that a donor gave him a heart. And he has a new heart now. And the surgery was successful by the grace of God. And he has a new heart, and he is alive. And somebody died so that he would live. I want you to know this. Jesus willingly, on his own accord, dies. The Rock of Ages, that song we sang, said, no one takes your life, but you died. Jesus died so that you would live. And he gives you his heart, and he plants it inside of you. And he lives now inside of you. And he's brought you back to life. And I'm just rejoicing today as I think about all of the people that I've been able to see receive a new heart and have a new spiritual heartbeat and have their path lit up by Jesus, who is the light of life. Here's some application questions for you this morning. The question is this: are you standing firm and growing in the knowledge of God's word? Where are you spiritually right now? And this is an invitation, if you're not, to start growing in the knowledge of God's word and getting into those scriptures. And we love you, and we're happy you're here. And then also, is there anyone that you need to get together with? I know there's somebody in your mind, you know. Is there anyone you need to call? Is there anyone you need a text message? Or who, however you're going to do it. Hey, we can't control them, but we can control ourselves. We can control our love and our pursuit and our grace. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your heart and guard your mind through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, at this time, we will do the offering. The offering is out of worship of Jesus. It is to also support the mission and ministry at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School.